Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Nate Klarfeld for Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have Gary Konecki with me from lovingministries.com. He's an interfaith minister who has been working with people online and doing personal counseling. And I'm just going to let him talk. Gary, hello.
Hello there.
What's going on? We actually already have a caller, but we're going to put him on hold for a minute because I'm going to chat with you. All right, Gary, how did you get started in ministerial work?
For ages I've been doing religious studies. And after Prop 8, the question came up, where were our allies? Because they looked like they were all AWOL. So not to kick anybody, but, you know, the Reformed Jews didn't seem to show up for Prop 8. The Episcopalians didn't seem to show up. No one seemed to show up. And I said, you know what? If they're not showing up, then it's my job. So with that horrible thought in mind, I set out, became ordained, and very quickly thereafter, I got contacted by the president of the Gay Activist Alliance in Morris County, GAMIC. I had been on GAMIC's board some years before, and I kept raising the issue when I was on the board about homeless gay and lesbian youth. And having raised that issue repeatedly, I get a phone call from the president the morning after, and he's fit to be tied. A 15-year-old boy had basically been kicked out of his home because he was gay with the clothes on his back. And the president of GAMIC and somebody else spent the entire previous day trying to find a place to park this child overnight till they could figure out how to get him into social services properly. And he was fit to be tied. And being I had shot my mouth off about this, I was the recipient of the phone call.
Wow.
And you got it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And there, you know, I said, well, you know, if the ink on my ordination just happened to dry, and I'll tell you what, one, I write some articles for your newsletter, and I'll give a couple talks about religion. And you could actually hear on the phone his eyes roll up into his head. Because he's been raised in one of those faith traditions where thou shalt not question anybody.
Right.
And whatever, you know, the clergy person says goes.
Right.
And he figured that this was going to be that. And I quickly banged together what became the first three articles.
Mm-hmm.
I put together no time flat first three drafts of what became the first three articles in the series, my series on sexual orientation and religion.
Uh-huh.
And he read them, realized what I was thinking, thought it was brilliant, and encouraged me to do that. That was 2 years ago. The series still not done.
Let me give the listeners a little blurb from that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read from them. Okay, read from one of your articles.
Please.
All too, because you're not going to, because you're too proud. It'd be bragging if you did. If I do it, it's just normal, right? All too often, organized religion has been about persecution. Some religions and religious leaders seem to be more about politics than faith in God. Some organized religions preach about sin and damnation as if punishment and being mean-spirited was the purpose of life. One major religion seems to be scapegoating gays and lesbians as a way of diverting attention from their worldwide series of pedophilia and child abuse scandals. Catholic Church. Religion is portrayed in the media as hateful, bigoted, and corrupt. Sadly, all too often, this is an accurate portrayal. Yet none of this has to be, and I do not believe this, has to be the will of God. Too often, religion serves as not being as close to God, but drives us away from God. Okay. Do you want me to take a caller now? Just go start off with it?
Sure.
Okay, you're ready. Sure. I'm ready. Let's go. Caller 900-154, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hello?
Hey, would you have a question or comment for Gary?
Well, I guess first my question is, I don't know whether to address you as minister or whether I address you as reverend.
I'm very informal. Gary's good by me. Anything but late for dinner is pretty much good by me.
Well, I guess let me just tell you a little bit about who I am. I'm a gay Jewish male, and I guess my problem is I get so frustrated that I want to act out physically against people who are not necessarily not like me, but who, you know, people who put up those walls in front of me. And sometimes this aggression, I mean, I really have to stop myself, and there have been actually times where I can't stop myself, and it has to do with whether I'm gay or whether I'm Jewish, and I feel like, you know, good God, between the all the Jewish guilt, the gay guilt, I don't know where I'm going.
Gary, well, ministering tonight, go.
You get the story sounds very familiar. First off, obviously acting out is never, you know, an appropriate thing to do. I was raised Jewish, became an interfaith minister, which means now that I have a much broader base than I did before. But, you know, I have to tell you, I go to temple, and that takes care of, like, the gay half of me. And then I go to some gay event, and that takes care of the gay half of me. And it's a very rare event when I can get, like, both halves in the same room at the same time together. So an example would be a Reform synagogue not far from here has a Passover Seder. It's a gay and lesbian Passover Seder. I have to tell you, that's great. I get both halves in the same room. It's a terrific, uplifting experience. It's very hard to find a place that you can park. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care, you know, for other people who aren't Jewish. To find an accepting house of worship where you can, you know, sit down, be comfortable, let your hair down, is a very rare thing. In this area, this is northern New Jersey, we're blessed in that there is, for Catholics anyway, an independent Catholic church, which would be the American Catholic Church. It's an independent church. Bishop George has got to be one of the nicest, greatest people I've ever met. So, you know, if you're Catholic, that's a place you can go if you're Catholic and gay or lesbian.
No, I understand, but when it's staring me in the face, you know, when I'm literally staring into the eyes of someone with, you know, a hate or, you know, non-compassion, doesn't understand, that's where, you know, it gets me. And I don't know. I mean, there are times I feel like throwing, you know, a garbage can at somebody.
Can I ask a caller question? Can I ask him a question real quick? I'm sorry. It's a three-way here. We're having a three-way.
Go ahead. Ask the question.
Okay. My question is, what you said they're full of hate. Do they say something to you, or do they say something in general to get this rage going? It seems like rage to me. What are the exactly bring
it's
you
like a constant
rage?
Taunting. You know, it's as if, you know, they haunt me, and they just feel, they just, I know that they are trying in their heart of hearts to make my life miserable. You know, whether it's you know, blasting music from you know, for, you know, to make to, you know, my upstairs neighbors to make my life, you know, hell at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whether it's, you know, parking in my parking space, or, you know, anything like that.
Okay.
I understand the problem. It's a similar situation in Fair Lawn, New Jersey. Honestly, you know, and this is not the right answer, but it's the practical answer. Is, you know, maybe it's time to move. Obviously, you're not welcome where you are.
Doesn't that mean that they've won?
Where you are. And, you know, maybe it's time to get to a better place.
I don't think it's a win or lose.
But isn't that surrendering? Isn't that making them feel like they've won?
Well,
in the short run,
unfortunately, bad guys do win on occasion. And the fact of the matter is, your mental health is probably far more important, and your personal safety is far more important than, you know, whether or not they win or not.
Okay, I understand. I don't know. I mean, that's that's a lot to swallow. That's a lot to have to give up. I mean, you're talking about I'd be moving out of my home, my childhood home, and surrendering. And I don't know that I don't feel that's right in my heart of hearts.
Well, if you go to war, can you win?
Right.
I
understand. It's just it's 2011, and this is still where we are.
Unfortunately, yes, it is. And you would think that thousands of years of prophets and teachings about love your neighbor as yourself and all that good stuff would have sunk in by now. It hasn't.
I understand. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes. I mean, I guess that's my choice. I guess I'm either brought to the point where I'm going to, you know, throw things at them or throw things at their car, or I'm going to, you know, have to move away. And I don't know, you know, I guess for my own sanity's sake, it's going to have to be the latter.
Unfortunately, it may well be that way. And, you know, I understand the pain of it.
And that's what you would do?
Knowing of a similar situation, I'm telling you right now, if I had the checkbook, I would be gone.
Right, but, you know, it's a monetary.
In all honesty, if I had the checkbook, New Jersey would never see me again.
Well, I thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I hope it never gets to the point where, you know, I feel like I have to toss garbage cans at their car or rake leaves on their car, because that would be an awful thing to do, wouldn't it?
Going to jail over is not worth it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. At least in New Jersey, that's called criminal mischief.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry I couldn't give a better answer.
No, I think you gave him a good answer.
No, that's okay. Thank you. I think it's a perfectly valid answer, and moving away may be the best thing. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Well, Gary, you didn't think you'd have to go minister right away, did you?
I wasn't planning on that one.
Well, that's what live radio is, okay? So this is what I do every week for half an hour. I love it. Okay, I have a couple of other little comments and questions. I do a lot of reading. I don't know if you know anything about me. I told you my background is I'm a retired dentist who now does full-time volunteer work with the Stonewall National Museum and Archives in lovely Fort Lauderdale, Florida, America's largest gay and lesbian lending library, museum, and historical archive. There was the commercial. It's over. I do a lot of reading. My partner is a psychiatrist, formerly practicing psychiatrist in the gay community, so I read a lot of stuff. And what I really see in the gay community, and I think we saw it in the last caller, this is my next question, and it kind of worked, this caller almost like made a beautiful segue. I see a lot of shame. I see a lot of guilt. And instead of coming out as a beautiful thing, like you became a minister when you saw the shame and the guilt, a lot of people come out with rage. Have you seen that too, or is that just my observation?
No, it happens that way. Part of the problem is that I don't think we as a community do right by our younger people. And I'm not sure how to do right by them, but to give you an example of why I'm saying that, I had the privilege of the gay and lesbian student group at Bergen Community College a little over a year ago, invited an incredible panel of gay and lesbian clergy, and I was fortunate enough to be one of the people on that panel. And they were planning like a 45-minute panel discussion presentation thing that ran closer to 3 hours. And
wow.
The room was, it was beyond standing room. And most of the people there, you know, they're all college students, they're all young adults, and they're wrestling with the young adult issues.
Yes.
And it was painfully obvious that they never had anybody they could talk to before.
Exactly.
And they were good questions, and they didn't have a clergy person in the world that they could turn to as a young adult trying to figure out where they are in the world and why they're here, and they had nobody to go to. And this panel was like their once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Exactly. I understand totally what you're saying. And I've seen that repeated all across the country in reading about what you just said. It has happened hundreds of times, from Salt Lake City to Montreal to New Jersey to Florida, even in Florida where we have a lot of gay and lesbian religious organizations. What you said exactly is true. They have never had a clergy person to say, I believe in God, I am gay, I am a good person. If you could get, you know, and they won't say it. They're too, as I said, ashamed to say it. But you can only do that in the presence of clergy, because they have been, I'm going to say the word damaged. I don't know if you agree with that. Do you agree with that, damaged?
In a way, yes. It's, you know, you have several things. It's not necessarily damaged. Sometimes it is. We know homophobia is terribly prevalent and terribly damaging. Sometimes it's just you're young, you're trying to figure out where you are in the world, you're trying to figure out what the whole purpose of the exercise is, you're asking the questions that you should be asking at that age, and it's sometimes just very hard to get answers, especially if you're gay or lesbian. Growing up is hard. Growing up gay and lesbian is even harder.
Yeah, you're right. And it's like two strikes against you if you're questioning religion on top of that. And if your religion has told you you're a sinner or you're deviant or you're a second-class citizen or you don't deserve to be respected, then, you know, it's almost like three strikes, you're out. And I feel sorry for a lot of these kids who have that spirituality but have no place to put it. And I know that, I'm glad there's the internet. There's some wonderful outlets, and you're one of them, lovingministries.info or lovingministries.com. I just got on that one. I thought you were info, but now you're lovingministries.com, and people can get a hold of you through there. Is that correct? They can ask questions.
Okay. Because
you're
motivated behind the website was, if you remember Harvey Milk, he spoke a lot about you have to give people hope.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, there was the child in, you know, Kansas or Iowa or wherever that child was. And, you know, there's the famous story of, you know, this child reaches out to Harvey Milk because he was about to kill himself. And, you know, Harvey Milk, you know, encourages him.
Right.
That's the purpose of this website. We're taught in what's called the Mishnah, which is an oral teaching of Judaism, that if you save a single life, it's as if you saved the world.
Correct.
And the purpose of this website is to save the world. You know,
exactly.
If I save just one kid or one adult or one person who's having a really tough time with this stuff, then, you know, I have saved the world. It doesn't get better than that.
You're exactly right. And that last caller, I have a feeling from the tone of voice at the end there, you're the first clergy person he has opened up to. Did you feel that too, or is that just me?
It could very well be.
I think he may be living in an more observant community, and you said about upstairs neighbors, so we're talking about probably a northeast area. And you may be the first person. So you never know. And you really don't know who you touch. It's interesting. By the way, I just on a side note, the young person you talked to, I don't remember if it was Kansas or Iowa. I met him. I met that kid. He moved to California. He's in a wheelchair. He's a handicapped young man, or differently abled. I think I'm going to say that word correctly. He works for Equality California now, full time as a media specialist. I met him on tour with Stuart Milk, who lives in Fort Lauderdale. Harvey Milk's nephew is a full-time community volunteer and has other jobs, but he's been carrying on the Harvey Milk Foundation, and he's openly gay. And they were doing a fundraiser and something, and I met him. It was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm meeting the person from the movie. So it was quite exciting.
That's a great moment.
Yeah, it's a huge moment, and I met him. So it was, oh my God, when I saw the wheelchair, I said, oh my God, that's the guy from the movie, immediately, and I knew exactly who he was. And he's working. He's moved to California. Of course, he's a lot older now, and he works for Equality California, and they're trying to get the I think they're working on putting a repeal of Prop 8 on the 2012 ballot. They're having a lot of arguments about that. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about putting that on the ballot again in 2012?
I would like to see Prop 8 go away, and I don't care how it's done.
Yeah.
What I want to see, though, is that the community pulls together. I want to see not just us pull together. I want to see our allies pull together.
Right.
I want to see clergy people in the lead pulling together to make sure that everybody understands how evil and immoral that proposition was.
Oh, my God, it was horrible.
In New Jersey last year, when same-sex marriage was before the state legislature, I think it was Garden State Equality, rounded up 120 clergy people to sign a letter calling for same-sex marriage in New Jersey. The issue is now before the New York legislature, and my understanding is that they presented a letter to the state legislature with 727 clergy people signing that letter,
wow,
calling for same-sex marriage in New York.
Wow. Yeah, I heard about that. Now, I didn't know it was up to 727. That's absolutely amazing. Of course, Bill Clinton came out today on a news conference saying he was in favor of it. He's now a New York resident. Of course, he could have done more when he was signing Defense of Marriage Act, because he didn't have to sign
exactly it. He signed it, and, you know, my question is this genuine repentance?
I think it's like he doesn't have anything to lose right now. I'm being cynical. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about one more thing before the time runs out, because it's flying by. It's just flying. We have 8 minutes to go. Are you familiar with the statement of principles that the rabbis signed in the Orthodox community recently?
That was an awesome statement.
Wasn't that
I
amazing?
I was so when they did that. And the problem is that it was bracketed by two unfortunate things. And it shows that we've made great progress, but we still have so much further to go.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we, as, you know, the Jewish community, meaning the other communities of faith that have problems with the issue, and meaning us as, you know, a gay, lesbian community as well.
Let me
bracketing that event, and what may have sparked that letter was a very unfortunate dust-up at Yeshiva University at the end of 2009. Some of the students and former students of Yeshiva University. Now, first, to get this thing, Yeshiva University is a very unique school, because in many ways it's a secular school.
Right, right.
The same as any other higher education, you know, university.
Right.
And at the same time that it's a secular school, it is also probably the primary training ground for Orthodox rabbis in the United States.
That's correct.
So it's an unusual school, and it's a very religious school and a very secular school under the same roof. And some of the rabbis that had graduated from Yeshiva University and some of the students that are still there were concerned about the treatment of the Jewish Orthodox communities, treatment of gay and lesbian people, and how they're discriminated against and all the problems associated with that. The Orthodox rabbis who run the school, Orthodox rabbis who were alumni of the school, threw what has been one of the ugliest temper tantrums ever seen. That was in December. Some months later, that letter came out, which was just such a wonderful thing. And that's basically what that meeting at Yeshiva University asked for, was what that letter asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that finally we've made a little progress and we're heading in the right direction and this is going to be great. And then, not that many months after that, the Jewish Standard in Teaneck, New Jersey, which is it's a Jewish newspaper, but it's not a religious newspaper.
Right.
So they cover community events, political news, Middle East news, and they tend not to cover religious matters at all.
Right.
And they printed a same-sex wedding announcement.
That's correct. I read about that.
And you saw the insane, ugly temper tantrum. In fact, some of the same people who threw the temper tantrum at Yeshiva University threw another temper tantrum in Teaneck.
That's correct.
And, you know, in the end, it was a great letter. It was a major step forward. On the other hand, it was bracketed by two steps back, and I don't know that we got anywhere.
Well, let me tell the listeners just a little bit about the statement of principles. I'm not going to go through all of them. There were 10 statement of principles, but basically it was signed by, I believe, 60 Orthodox either rabbis or teachers. And one of the nice things it said was they were no longer going to refer homosexual or gay students or gay Jews to ex-gay ministries. They felt it wasn't going to change. They also said they weren't going to talk them into getting married. There were some wonderful, open, accepting, warm, and wonderful things in that. Yes, it didn't go all the way. Yes, it didn't go exactly. But my God, these are Orthodox people. This was not a reform people signing this. So this was the people that 10 years ago you would have never heard of them doing this. On an interesting parallel note, my cousin owns a chain of Jewish newspapers in Detroit. The Detroit Jewish News does print same-sex marriage announcements if both partners are Jewish and they're getting married by a rabbi, which is kind of funny because it's kind of like the old intermarriage thing with heterosexuals. And he went through a huge fight in Detroit. This is several years ago. The reason this came about is his in-laws are board members of PFLAG. His sister-in-law is openly gay and is married in California. And and he stood his ground. They did not change their view, but they're the only game in town, and it's Detroit, not New Jersey. It was far enough away from Yeshiva University. My family is very observant, except for me. They all keep kosher, walk the shul, things like that. But it's funny. The Detroit Jewish News does print same-sex marriage announcements, but only if both partners are Jewish and they're getting married by a rabbi, which I think is kind of good, don't you? I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of good, right?
That's a really cool story.
Yeah, it is a cool story. And I love Art, and I'm going to give a shout-out to my cousin, Artie Horowitz, the publisher of the Detroit Jewish News and 28 other Jewish newspapers, including Baltimore, West Palm Beach, Vancouver, Atlanta, and I don't even know how many others he owns. But the Jewish Standard is not one of them. He was very surprised that the Jewish Standard retracted and then said they were going to have a public – they said they were going to have a public forum, and then they never did. Did you know
no,
that?
No, they didn't. They just retreated and ran under the biggest rock they could find.
Right, right. They said they were going to have a public forum sometime in the future, and this has been almost a year. So it's been kind of interesting. And as I said, in Detroit, he stood his ground. He stood his ground because the newspaper, of course, they advertise restaurants that serve pork that are – anyway, we only have 90 seconds to go, so I can't believe this half hour just flew by. This is the fastest interview ever done. I can't believe it's like over already. What do you have to say in the last 60 seconds, Gary? It's all yours.
My concern is, the cruelest thing you can do to somebody is to murder hope. That's the worst thing you can take away from somebody. And the problem is that you have religions, you have clergy people, and that's what they do to this community. And that is such a crime and such a sin. And the fact of the matter is, God made all of us. God loves all of us. And, it's about love.
Right.
The
right.
Website, is there. Please, if you have a few free minutes, read some of the articles. It's about hope.
.com.
LovingMinistries.com, LovingMinistries.info.
Okay.
Both will take you to the same website.
Right.
There are articles there, and they're about hope. There's one page that has prayers that I've accumulated over the years. Then some of the prayers are actually pro-gay and lesbian prayers.
Right. I saw the prayers. We didn't get to the prayers. We'll have to do that next time. Well, anyway, I'm going to say good night and thank you so much. This has been a blast. We're going to have you back soon, okay? Is that all right? Is that a deal?
Oh, I would love that. This was great fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you. Good night.
Night.